Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
One of the things we always talk about on the Mike O'Mara Show is that this show has a long tail where people will listen days, weeks, months after we put these in our archive. And we have them, and they're around forever, and you get to listen to the show. There are wonderful supporters of this show that do it that way, and there are wonderful supporters of the show that listen every single day. I would imagine the people that listen in real time and listen on a daily basis and don't miss a show within 24 hours are the people that will be tuning in today, especially because they probably know what we're going to cover, which is up there with some of the major events in American history, you know, with the space shuttle and with 9/11 and with the major disasters. I only can say that I'm glad that it was not more of a disaster. Thank God that it wasn't. We're going to talk about it today because we have to, because this show originates from the nation's capital. Oscar lives in the nation's capital, and we all have very strong ties to D.C., and we have good insights, too, as far as the way the city works. There's going to be a lot on the program today we're going to talk about, because this is a strange time we live in. And if you have had your head in the sand, I'm referring to the storming of the United States Capitol yesterday after the rally. If you listened to yesterday's show, we had Todd Moore on, and we had a very lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek segment with Todd. And at the moment, I must confess that I believed I was listening to a little protest and a little venting of people that were frustrated at the election loss. And I went out to do my thing yesterday and got a call from my wife in the middle of the day that said, "Are you aware of what's going on?" I said, "No, I'm pursuing a white egg. I don't pay attention to anything." And then realized that that this was going on. It's truly amazing the way it went down.
Did you stop the game and walk off and get to a television? I don't know what I did.
Absolutely no. Oh, wow. Absolutely no. Because I didn't understand until I got home. It's not because I didn't think, well, what am I going to do? Yeah. And so I was.
You're a news junkie.
I'm a news junkie, but I didn't know.
Honey, I told you when I'm golfing.
No.
Honey.
The conversation with her was just, they have stormed the Capitol. I didn't know until I got back home and turned on a television just what had happened.
Oh, and I'll tell you, it unfolded so fast.
It happened so fast. And there are people today who, you know, who are doing a postmortem on this thing that are saying, what happened?
How could it happen?
I got strong feelings about that.
WJFK had better security.
Yeah, if they had to get by Miss Terry, they would have. They still would be on the mall.
Let me set the table with the news story first,
please. Okay.
And then we have carte blanche. We can talk about this and go on and beat it until it's to death. And by the way, people say you're supposed to be funny. I don't listen to it. I don't care. This is a major world event that took
our
place.
Take.
This is something you would get in a third world country that happened.
Get over
if we're
it.
Talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Show.
By the Mike's. Way, there's a part Mike's. Of me that feels a level of responsibility for not maybe squawking enough and allowing this to become normal. So we'll get to that in a second. Okay. But let me just set the table
protests,
for you.
Mike, in fairness to you, before you move on.
Yes.
We have protests in this city on a regular basis.
Yeah, when we talked to Todd yesterday, it was at an event that was not uncommon. It wouldn't be even really big news, because they do things like this all the time in the
and
city.
And we mocked Todd a little bit.
A little bit.
He knew we were mocking
lot.
Him.
Yeah.
It was fun. We made him pledge allegiance to the show.
You did the MAGA radio bit.
We're
going to
get to Todd,
guys.
Too. I'll ask Oscar if he had contact. I will.
Oh, I had contact.
We will get to that.
Personally.
And It will be, it's very, very strange. Let me set the table for you with this story. Last month, President Trump encouraged his supporters to march at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Started with him a month ago to coincide with Congress's scheduled certification of the election results. He promised that it would be, quote, wild.
Excuse me, a little burp.
He promised it would be, quote, wild. And not surprisingly, it was. But what few of us expected was that it would turn into a violent riot with masses of people storming the Capitol, breaking in, and threatening everyone inside. Here is a breakdown of the most significant developments.
All right.
Number one, at around noon local time, Trump spoke to his supporters outside. That's where Todd was. We spoke to Todd when we were taping the show yesterday. Yeah. He was getting ready to hear the president speak. Mm-hmm. He vowed that we will never concede. He encouraged them to march to the Capitol and to show strength and be strong while they patriotically make their voices heard.
Yeah.
So that's where this all started. Congress began their joint session to confirm President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College win, but Trump supporters started something at the Capitol before they could finish. They broke down barricades. They triggered a lockdown in D.C., and Congress went into a recess. By the way, the Congress, they were ushered into secure, undisclosed locations.
Yeah,
they were
put
up on the top of the gallery in the House of Representatives where they looked terrified. The rioters, and still don't have a lot of information on this, but they deployed chemical irritants, I would imagine that's pepper spray, on the police, smashed windows. You've probably seen this on the tube by now.
Mm-hmm.
Broke into the building, marched through the halls, shouted, waved Trump, MAGA, and Confederate flags, clashed with police, and some wandered around in the chambers. You know, we've seen the video of this. We've seen what happened.
Mm-hmm.
One intruder sat at the front of the Senate where Vice President Mike Pence sits and where he had just been before the lockdown, and another went into the office of House Leader Nancy Pelosi. He posed for photos and left a threatening note on her desk.
Mm.
One woman was shot and killed. She was one of the rioters, and it sounds like she was not. She was shot by U.S. Capitol Police,
mm-hmm.
but that's still not clear. That's the part nobody seems to know anything about.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Capitol Police and just what the hell went down with that. Three other people died during the chaos, but their deaths were due to, quote, medical emergencies. Again, no further details on that.
So vague.
with all the, I'm just going to do a sidelight, then I'll go on with the rest of the pertinent facts. With all the media and all the cameras and all the people getting fat bank to be up on that hill, okay? I'm not talking about fake media. I'm not talking about, you know, how about a little journalism?
Mm.
How about just asking a few of the right questions? Yeah, medical emergencies. I didn't know when they announced that a lady had been shot to death. I had no idea what the circumstances. Didn't know it was a police officer. Didn't know if it was a rioter. Didn't know if it was a congressperson. They're bad at that. When in the heat of the moment, it's gotten worse. Journalism has gotten worse in this country. There are not enough tough questions being asked. I wish there was better reporting. A little less of the circle of great reporting, Phil. Great reporting, the Irish fat guy on CNN. And a little bit, you know, that's just a sidelight.
Well, Mike, can I just, before you close, I was listening this morning. I never listen to terrestrial radio anymore. I just don't.
Right.
But this morning, I listened to WTOP on the way in, which is a news station here in the district. And again, I marvel at how one of the top billing stations in the nation can be put together so badly. Neil Augenstein had the former...
There it is.
Well, I'm on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
He had former head of the Capitol Police. And what was the takeaway?
That guy made the rounds.
Yeah.
That guy made the rounds.
And all he said is...
Read between the lines on that douche.
Well, he...
Sorry.
He did come off as a douche because what a guy that could have some decent insight. All he said is, well, you know the hill. Someone's going to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four people are dead.
He was kind of shrugging his shoulders on CNN today, too, and going, well, you know, it happened, and, you know, it's a big mistake. Yeah, okay.
Do you think they're going to throw someone under the bus?
Yeah, it's, come on. It's
horrible.
So at least two explosive devices were found Mm-hmm. But there have been many reports of pipe bombs and the sounds of explosions and gunshots throughout the area. National Guard troops, local police, and the Secret Service. I have to stop again. We'll get to more of this.
Okay.
Anyone who comes to the nation's capital, Oscar lives there. Mm. I spent most of my career there. You can't even wrap your head. You can't even wrap your head around how many different types of cops there are in the nation's capital. It will blow your mind. We have park police. We have the United States Secret Service. Mm-hmm. We have the Metropolitan Police. We have different security, different levels of security. We have the National Park Service. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on. And when you go to an event like an inauguration, there are cops everywhere.
Yep.
And it just, we'll get to that when we have plenty of time to break this all down. So Trump refused to reprimand the mob. I remember when this was all going on, mm-hmm. he tweeted, of course, telling them to, quote, remain peaceful after telling them to march to the Capitol with strength.
Yeah, well, it was like, but the tweet was telling them, not telling them.
Wait, it's true or false? What he does. Does he have a winking emoji that he used?
It's what he does and gets away with. There's so much blame to go around, it's not even funny. In the midst of the chaos, Joe Biden gave a speech and said, quote, at this hour, our democracy is under unprecedented assault, unlike anything we've seen in modern times. An assault on the citadel of liberty, the Capitol itself. This is not dissent, it's disorder, it's chaos. It borders on sedition, and it must end now. I call on this mob to pull back and allow the work of democracy to go forward. He also called on Trump to be the president that we need and go on national TV and put an end to this siege. Only after the government lost control of the Capitol building did Trump finally put out a video. I watched it. It was disgusting, in my opinion, where he told his supporters to go home. But he spent most of the video stoking the fire by reiterating the country was being stolen. He ended it by telling the rioters, quote, the people that broke windows, crawled through windows, vandalized the Capitol. He told his little mentors, his little fur hat wearing, bearded, tattooed douches, we love you. You're very special.
Jesus.
Trump later tweeted, quote, these are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots. I get mad all over again.
You should.
Twitter later deleted several of Trump's tweets, including those past two, locked his account so no one could retweet any of the nonsense for 12 hours. Facebook also removed the video message to his supporters, saying that it contributes to the risk of ongoing violence. Facebook blocked Trump's page for 24 hours. YouTube also pulled down the video from Trump's channel. In another Twitter action, Ivanka Trump called the rioters American patriots, but later deleted the tweet and said, violence is unacceptable.
Do you like the fact that
goodbye, family. Goodbye. Bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Do you like the fact that we're treating now the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, like a 12-year-old girl who's been misbehaving? We've locked you out of Twitter for 12 hours.
Now, a lot of Republicans denounced the insurgents. The number one was George W. Bush, who said, I'm appalled by the reckless behavior of some political leaders since the election and by the lack of respect shown today for our institutions, our traditions, and our law enforcement.
That came out quick.
Very fast.
The violent assault on the Capitol was undertaken by people whose passions have been inflamed by falsehoods and false hopes. I agree with that. It's not that I'm going to absolve the people in that Capitol, people marching, from responsibility. I don't absolve them from doing that. But I have to say, I'm completely aware of the fact that their little walnut-sized brains have been so thoroughly
brainwashed by
this administration that, it's no surprise they did that. And, including friends of ours. Sorry, but it's true, Todd.
True.
Hate to say it. Okay, Scott. You can't, Todd, I got to tell you something. You can't escape that.
Did he say escape?
He says escape every time we've heard him talk.
I didn't realize that.
Can't you write all the f-ing code in the world, but don't say escape. All right. Brilliant guy.
Noted.
Conspiracy theorist. Congress was bad. That's the only meanness I'll be to Todd. There. I'll direct it elsewhere.
Oh, he got a lot of it online, I heard.
Yes. Congress was back in session by 8 p.m. to continue the certification. I think seven of the senators who are still going to, they didn't even get that because they're looking at their political fortunes. Yeah, they stayed
so
with
selfish.
The protest.
But it's
so
it's,
absolutely craven.
It's on brand
craven.
With the president and what he's established yeah. as a winning
because
tradition
they
for him.
Think they think it's going to benefit them yeah. in the future.
Somehow
it may in that party. It may do that. Ted Cruz, the most craven of the craven.
Horrible.
Nobody. You want to talk about a bottom feeder? Nobody is better at being a slime ball than that guy. And then the Missouri dude, Tawley, whatever the hell his name is.
That guy.
Early in the day, they barely Problem. Started the process when the insurgents stormed the building. Once Congress reconvened, they were still debating Ted Cruz, his objection to the Arizona results that got shot down. Kelly Loeffler, I have to applaud her. I have to applaud the woman who just lost
Gracious
the Senate
loser.
Race and was associated with Trump. Throughout the campaign, has been a yeah. massive Trump supporter,
mm-hmm.
pulled out of the protest for the vote after the insurgency. And she is, I mean, can you imagine, just think for just a second. This is a woman who is fresh off a massive political defeat. Fresh off it. A hard-fought, bitterly contested Senate contest.
Close.
And she got up and said, I am not going to protest the results of this. I stand and salute her for doing what she did. The other scummy seven, and man, they should be held accountable
like the name,
for this.
Scummy seven.
The scummy seven,
they,
yes.
The scummy seven. In the end, Mike Pence, who, by the way, Trump summarily threw under the bus, although he had no power to do anything, he acquitted himself well in the joint session, and Congress certified Biden's victory over Trump. He looked like pretty shell-shocked himself
yeah.
all day.
Oh, when
there
Pence
it
said,
is.
Let's get back to work.
Yeah.
I got chills. I felt like it was a scene out of Air Force One where he said, get off my plane, and kicked him yeah. off the plane. I said, whoever right. wrote this for him, he delivered it perfect.
I thought whoever wrote it, you know, and there was a lot of good writing for these guys that came back on the floor. So there it is. This was yesterday. Our democracy prevailed, by the way. They were yeah. able to secure the Capitol. I think we have to begin with a post that I put out yesterday on Facebook where I said,
I have not seen this, Mike. Can you please?
Let me bring it up so I get it right, so I don't forget what I said. But this is what I thought right away with all of the Trump stuff, which we, by the way, we come to expect. And yeah. with all of the, you know, the people that enable him that we expect, there are no big surprises there. Let me tell you what was a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. What was a surprise was I've been to inaugurations.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see anything like it. You don't see anything like the police presence that's there. What in the hell happened yesterday? They had a month. The online chatter about this with their cryptic yep. You'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Veiled violent threat. That's
yes.
what it was.
Of course.
I didn't think they were capable of it. They weren't. I think they estimated, 40,000 to 50,000 people, double what they thought, who they thought might show up. I think that's the numbers we're talking yep. about. What in the F happened? And I will tell you, you're hearing it, and I don't like to fuel the divide, but I can't help but make comparisons when you look at the way some of these police officers were handling these rioters. It was pretty suspect to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that I'm going to throw out a conspiracy where there were people that knew this was coming. And no, Ooh. I don't buy that a second. But I do believe, and probably from personal experience of knowing these people, that there are plenty of people in the various police departments on Capitol Hill that sympathized with the Trump supporters
sure.
because they were Trump supporters. They were. And I just don't understand how this happened in the first place. When you talked about the BLM protests, there was a great picture on Facebook that showed the National Guard on the yeah. steps of the Capitol. Step after step after step after step, fully armed.
Yes.
A human wall.
A human wall that there was, and then you know, when I turned it on live, there were like six cops standing at the top of the steps. There was one cop inside the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. So my question right away, the first thing you look at is you say, wow, what happened? Where was the failure in leadership? I regret to a degree until I get all the facts. I don't want to completely retract what I said. I gave very, very high marks to Muriel Bowser for calling in the National Guard.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Where the F were they? What, are you calling them in case something happens? Or I didn't. It was Oscar, you lived there. It was insane to me.
Let me give you real time for what we felt. And I just did the math yesterday because I had to. Because we have employees and team members that work with us in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oscar was thinking about whether we were going to have people coming into our Podcast Village studios today.
Yes.
You know?
And I called Mike a couple times. I know when we connected in the evening, I said, the questions were infrastructure. Are people going to have to come in? Do they go to Georgetown? Are they going to go downtown again? We are 1.1 miles away from a 7-minute walk from the White House. I've always known that.
Well, for me, it would be like 15 minutes.
We got that location for a reason, so it could be close to downtown and close to the White House. We are 2 miles away from the Capitol, a roughly 35-minute walk. When I saw the news breaking, as every network broke in right away in my office, I'm on a call with a client. So, like, they're not looking at this. I'm not going to break into a conversation here about it. And then I see in real time my calendar start falling off. I had a call with the Bush family. That got rescheduled right away. I had a call with the Lincoln Project rescheduled. All of these calendar events start falling off because you're not seeing the full effect of the protest right away. You're just seeing something's happening.
You hear about it. It doesn't sound anything like when you see the video.
Imagine seeing... Yeah. Your calendar, like we all have on our phones, just events start going black or graying out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I look at ways where I'm like, okay, if we all have to get out, how do we get out of the city? So you have, and I don't share this with our team members, I can share it now. You have this sense of panic, but you can't panic because you want to make sure everybody gets out at the right time, right?
At this time, I'm sure, Oscar, nobody knows what's really going down. Nobody knows what's really capable, what people are capable of. You know, you see the type of, I think at the end of the day, all the video that I looked at was, you know, a bunch of yahoos that were in there.
But as it was unfolding, I mean, there was such, you know, you didn't know what was going on.
You can't help but take a beat and say, or have to stop yourself, be like, do not, like, be level-headed, relax. Like, it's 2.1 miles away. Most of the people walked. A lot of people parked in our vicinity. And what is best, I think, about for our team members, our family, everybody to get home. And to unleash them at that time without knowing exactly what was going on was not the right move because all the traffic was starting to build up around the grid, the security perimeter.
Mm.
So as the events unfolded, I would say an hour and a half later, realizing that these people aren't leaving anytime now, around 3:30, I was like, everybody just go home. Just go home. Make sure you take the alley out, get out of the city as quick as you can.
You know, if you're feeling that level of tension being a few miles away, a couple of miles away, imagine how those legislators felt when they were lying flat on, you've heard it from multiple people. And by the way, there's no melodrama here.
No.
When people are kicking windows in, you're feeling threatened. Your life is
being threatened.
You feel you're fearing for your life.
And a space, by the way, that you never... ever would think you'd feel threatened. When 9/11 hit, they evacuated the entire Capitol. Like there was this that's all I could think about is that 9/11, everything as best as possible outside of the Pentagon, as we know, was evacuated.
Yeah. Let me explain. I don't think this needs to be explained, but it's not bad context. The United States Capitol, For those of you that may not have visited, have not been in there, you might come to D.C. and not get inside of it. I have been inside.
I've never been.
I have dined in the congressional dining room. I have ridden the underground trams to the office buildings. By the way, the Capitol is connected underground by a subway system that goes from the House and Senate office buildings to the Capitol. It is
a private system.
A private system.
Yeah. You don't even need a fare card, Oscar.
It's like the monorail.
Thanks, Shecky. There is. No, you can do shtick. I know you'll never give it up. in your land of candy canes and lollipops where nothing will ever be.
Well, usually you have to pay for the subway. This one is free.
Yes.
Yeah. And my joke was funnier than Oscar's. So
it was.
You know. Thank you. All right. So here's the deal. I feel, I can only tell you the way on memory, a sense of, I felt as though I was in, I was on hallowed ground. I felt as though that it was imperative of me while walking around to be quiet, to be on my best behavior. They tell you to be quiet.
Yes.
It is a place of reverence. It is a place of enormous respect. And that's, I mean, that's how I felt. I was overwhelmed with the historical significance of the place I was in. And with Congressman Tom Davis, a Republican who I had lunch with, it was really, really special. And when you go into the gallery, you just have this sense of you have to be careful. You have to, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to scream. You're not going to shout. You're going to be on your best behavior. It's like going to church. It's that same level of reverence.
That is so what I was thinking. And when I saw those yahoos just wandering around Statuary Hall,
yeah,
and in the rotunda.
With no plan, with not doing anything.
They don't know what they're doing and everything.
They have no idea.
The thing that occurred to me is if you can do that and not be struck with the weight of the environment that you are in.
Precisely.
You are not somehow wired right. Because it is, the church is a good analogy, but it's to me more of a, like when you go to the National Cathedral or a cathedral in Paris, it's not really a religious environment that you feel. It is a an environment of beauty, an environment of respect, an environment of just grandioseness and import. And if
and
you don't
respect
feel it, of
and
course.
And you respect it without anyone telling you it is,
and
you're
again,
just in that environment. You know you have to respect. This.
If you it's go into say the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, you're going to be reverent regardless of your religion because it's just an amazing structure that has been there forever. And regardless of your party or your beliefs, you should have reverence and respect when you walk the grounds of the Capitol. That's what our country was built on. And the very fact that you were able to, for a few hours, peacefully protest, that was established on those very marble floors. Respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And it drove, that was what really, I mean, as scary and upsetting and thinking I would never see it in my lifetime, feelings that I saw when I was watching all this unfold yesterday, that is what pissed me off the most.
This falls at the feet of the president.
Yeah,
it does.
It does.
There's no other way around it. And I know it's easy to just try to wrap your mind around and just say, why weren't they prepared? Why couldn't they? It's a federal city.
Yeah.
The mayor can do just so much.
You're right.
U.S. Capitol Police, they all fall under the federal jurisdiction. And at the end of the day, like they did with the BLM movement, with the show of force, that all comes from the president.
Yep.
Well, we have a lot to unravel with this. It's still fresh for everybody. It's just truly, truly amazing. This is a day that we will unpack a little bit more of what's going on and cover this as we start the show today. It is truly something that needs to be analyzed from every angle, and a lot going on, a lot of resignations, a lot of calls for invoking the 25th Amendment, perhaps impeachment. 13 days, by the way, until President-elect Biden is sworn in, along with Vice President-elect Harris. We shall see. It's a curious situation. Yes, Rob Spiegel.
Show note, I just don't feel the mood is right to start the show with a wacky tape. Can I just start with the record today?
Start with the record today, and we will be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
From the very unsettled Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with a loyal legion of listeners who are part of our family and who listen every day in every corner of the world. This is TMOS, everybody, heard in great places like Claxton, Georgia, Homer, Alaska, Tokyo, Japan, Novato, California, Emigrant Montana and South Bend, Indiana. We're on the air now. Glad to have you along with us. Our show today brought to you by Solo Stove. Everybody got a Solo Stove on this show. We love them. They're fantastic. You really, really have to get yourself a Solo Stove. Nothing like a roaring fire to bring you back to what matters. Enter Solo Stove. We all got them. We all love them. Solo Stove, a great weapon against the cold, as well as digital distractions. Get out there with the fam. Hang out.
Leave the phone inside and sit around the fire. Come on.
Almost sounded like Bob Barker there. Leave the phone inside and sit around your Solo Stove.
Not a lot of ash, Rod Roddy.
They create magic moments with stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. So little smoke, you'll wonder how there's so much fire. Plus, no campfire smell on your clothes and nothing left but ultra-fine ash for easy cleanup. Solo Stove products are portable and built to last. Easy to light, totally portable, and Solo Stove gives a lifetime warranty with every purchase. You can't beat that. No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code TMOS at checkout. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code TMOS. The day after the day of in Washington, D.C., as we continue to discuss the rioting in D.C. and the storming of the United States Capitol, Where to begin? Well, you begin with the conversation we had on the show yesterday, where what we all thought, I think to a man, you guys tell me if you think I'm wrong here, I think we all kind of figured it was going to be a rally, there's going to be a lot of shouting, a lot of MAGA hats, a lot of MAGA flags.
Yeah.
People on the other side of this issue, and even people that probably voted for Trump, they're not the zealots that showed up with animal skins on their head in D.C. There are a lot of people that kind of look at this and go, yeah, okay, I get it. I think there might be a little something hinky with the election. Let them vent. Let them shout.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was. Did you sense this coming yesterday?
I can tell you firsthand of the crowd I saw. So the crowd I saw walking towards the White House and the mall. Was in the morning, this is pre-show, like 7, right. 8 a.m., was the crowd that at best rivals this exuberance of going to a music festival of like we're all here for the same reason.
Yeah.
Got the big flag, got my whatever I have, my costume, whatever I have, we're going, right? Now, I don't agree with their politics, but they seem peaceful. My walk to my garage. At roughly 5:40 p.m., citywide curfew 6 p.m., I would get home in time.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the people walking back at that time was night and day.
Really?
Because the people walking back looked devastated.
Just like the joy was gone.
Amplify that a little bit, because that's an interesting take. You're saying they seemed when they looked devastated. What do you mean? Like they were
they. So first of all, I'm on edge because while we have a garage in the bottom of our building, I park at a different garage. It's slightly cheaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's me, and that's why I don't know why I do that. Toil is what I love. Mike says
you like to struggle.
Yeah. So I'm walking roughly two blocks to my garage, and you see these people. By the way, citywide curfew goes in. I guess anybody who was just hanging out, seeing what was happening. Had probably left at that point, right? Because there's still people in the Capitol. There wasn't an all clear sounded at that point. And you could tell who's there for the protest because they still had the same costumes as they were going. They didn't change coming back to their cars. And it was that shell shock look of confusion. Don't know what happened. And that's the only feeling I had.
Fear, for the Trump supporters.
Fear.
Right?
You have to think
because I was expecting this is what I was expecting like this exuberance of like walking out of a concert or a sporting event where your team won.
But don't you think there's a percentage?
I saw the opposite.
There had to be a percentage and a large percentage of attendees yesterday that were not there to cause trouble. Those were probably the ones that had that look of bewilderment because they're probably just thinking the same thing.
They're also following the law and getting. Back to their cars before the curfew to get out of town.
But they're thinking, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I called you at that time. Ahead. I called you and I called Charlie to let him know what the plan was for work and let him know. And I called you, Mike, my two captains to let you know what was going on. And I remember telling Charlie, I said, man, what a difference this 8 hours made from this morning to seeing people walk by me as I'm on the phone with him, just completely like their face is blank.
And now coming in today, did you get, excuse me, I got a bad throat today. Did they give you an impression that are these people moving on out of town today? You know, I know with the BLM protests, they lingered. What's the city like
there's
today?
It's empty. There's no gaming this out.
I rolled in at about 8 a.m. The curfew ended at 6 a.m. this morning. I crossed the bridge at about 8, and it was deserted. Yeah. When traffic is light, my commute is about an hour 15. It was 48 minutes today. Nobody is going anywhere. It's dead out there.
This was an opportunity as I watched well into the nighttime last night when they reconvened. I thought there were moments and there were terrible moments where we had an opportunity, I think, to really show everybody that we were a great democracy. And because of your Ted Cruz's, your Josh Hawley's, your Cindy Hyde Smith's, your Roger Marshall's, your John Kennedy's of Louisiana, your Tommy Tuberville's. We missed an opportunity. Oh. We're still divided. And I think really the only calculation that I think these people made was a political one.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that we're not there. We're not there. It was close.
But everybody's pissed at them. And I love it. Like everybody in those rooms were like,
they should be shamed.
It's 4 a.m. now because of you.
Because they, you know what it is? They're all white. They all hate Black Lives Matter. They all hate Antifa. That's who they're going to blame this on. Trust me, you don't have to go very deep on this. I'm sorry. I'm making those sweeping generalizations. I try to avoid that, but I can't do it right now. This was an opportunity. Last night was a golden opportunity that many, many United States senators took the floor and spoke eloquently about the fact that we move on. This is it. This is democracy.
Time to move.
A salute to all of them. To these remaining senators who just couldn't give it up, I have to say to you, you're small. You're smaller today. If your political calculations were that this base of support for this unhinged president will benefit you, well, good luck with that. Good luck with that, Ted. I hope it works out for you down in Texas.
And all those dregs today are congratulating themselves that they got it done. And that's the other thing. Is like, they slowed it down. And what was it? 3:19 that they finally did what was essentially.
Yeah, wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal to get this event done. And they drag it out and they protest and they position themselves and they speak. And then they say, hey, we got it done because we're a great country. Well, you could have done it and not come out smelling like that.
Rob, the best, I guess, maybe, look, if you're not in politics, which I am not, the feeling I had when I started seeing these members continue down their fruitless road.
Right. Yes, absolutely grandstanding. Because they knew, believe me, you got educated people here.
Oh, yes.
Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. Ivy League educated men here. They know the deal.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing. Make no mistake about this. This is as calculated. These guys, let me tell you how these guys roll. I've met a bunch of them. All right. They believe they are the smartest guys in the room. If you think that this is principled, you got another thing coming. This is not principled. This is, how is this going to play? The word used a lot, you'll hear it a lot more, craven. They are the definition of craven. That's the way this rolls. Super smart people. Ted Cruz, brilliant guy. Both Josh Hawley, brilliantly educated guy. Both with ties to the American legal system that, you don't get there unless you work hard and you're a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. So don't think for a second that this is some misguided. These guys weren't brainwashed. These guys were calculated. And, you talk about the enablers, those two hold those senators, those six senators up as the ultimate enablers of the
Sucky
president.
Six.
Sorry, I don't have the ones in
Scummy
Congress.
Seven.
Yeah. Scummy seven.
But it's a, well, it's, they said it's six. I'm not sure if it's six or seven. But you know what? Ultimately, with... there's so much that needs to be analyzed with this as far as where it came from. I want to open the idea of we have all in this room, we have all had our experience with law enforcement in the nation's capital.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, I want to talk about that. I want to, I'm going to throw some ideas out there.
Right.
Because I don't know. I guarantee you I don't know what the real deal was, Wade. But I will tell you this, that it certainly warrants an investigation to look into what exactly happened. How can this happen? We'll be right back, everybody. King's Things. And now, here's Larry.
Extension cords. They're for sissies. Sweet or salty. I kiss both ways. I'm the only one who likes to wear goggles. My left pinky is useless. Justin Bieber. Hang in there, boy. Betty White has more upper body strength than most men. Seattle's a hell of a town. That Space Needle. Oh, whoa, boy. You don't hear much about the shoehorn anymore. By the way, if you need it, buy it at the Mike O'Meara Shopping Center. Target, boy. Or Walmart. Boom. Grab it at MikeO'MearaShow.com. The TMOS Shopping Center. It's better than good. It's unbeatable.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Noom. People love to offer advice about the best way to eat, and it's never any good. That's why I love Noom. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you how to eat because you don't need rules to lose weight. You need knowledge. Noom personalizes a weight loss program just for you, and it's only 10 minutes a day. Plus, Noom is flexible, empathetic, easy, and forgiving. They know you're only human. If you stumble, you can get back on track tomorrow. It works. Don't believe me? Over 80% of Noomers finish the program, and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least one year.
Noom teaches you to love yourself and understand why.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It gets the inner government going so you can think about it and figure it out. There's the science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TM. OS. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up today for your trial at Noom. Well, you know, so many times when I watch a lot of those CNN reporters yesterday, they would go, no, it's Noom. Or it's Noom.
Noom.
Diction. Noom.com/TMOS. Ready to learn how to live healthier? Sign up for Noom today. Noom.com/TMOS. Yeah, a lot of those reporters yesterday. Back in the day, I come from old school.
Yeah.
By the way, I have the same broadcast journalism degree that Allison Camerata, formerly of Fox, now with CNN, has.
Kate Kirk.
Another one of our fine broadcast journalism students. Now they teach you that you articulate, especially your consonants,
I
so that if you have a mask on,
you don't say.
I have so much. I'm so wound up today.
They really, really hit your buttons.
Buttons. Buttons were held. Let's talk law enforcement.
Please.
Okay? Throughout my career, most of it in Washington, D.C., I came across many, many law enforcement officers.
You're known squirrel.
I was a squirrel for a period of time where I almost went so far as to buy a Crown Victoria and pretend I was a police officer. But never got that far. But I always loved law enforcement.
You did the ride along. You got shoes for a ride along. You bought special shoes.
I have a love hate relationship.
I'm sorry.
When it comes to law enforcement, kind of a love hate thing.
Yeah.
I love the idea of these people putting their asses on the line.
Yes.
My heart went out to there's a particular video of a lone officer, Capitol Hill police officer, being stormed by the crowd. Felt horrible for him. Didn't know what he could have done. I also heard, now I haven't seen any of this video. I heard incidents of law enforcement taking selfies with these people as they were moving on the Capitol. I saw several people having what appeared to be very nice conversations, very friendly, kind of patting them on the back and all that. Now, look, you've seen that with all protests where people will kind of be commiserating. You know, it goes back to the peaceful war protests where you would see daisies being put in the guns of the National Guard. If that happens, where I think we need to look is, was there a potential, a chance that the attitude of significant members of law enforcement were chill on this because you are hearing the words white privilege again and again. Yeah, let me just finish and then I'll let you talk.
Please.
You're hearing the fact that if this was a BLM situation, if this was a Muslim situation, if you were getting people of color storming the Capitol, it would be a different outcome. I am not prepared to disagree with that. I think that is almost essentially true. And by the way, not necessarily only from white police officers, from black police officers also.
Yeah.
It's a different standard. Yeah. Always has been. Always has been. And you're hearing that a lot. And I just wonder about the attitude that was it, or were they overwhelmed? I'm not sure yet. I don't have enough information. Oscar, go ahead.
Mike, we always talk about this, the buck stops here, right, at the top. And the evolution of even the Black Lives Matter movement within cities, and I can speak for my experience here in Washington, D.C., was swift and fast. As soon as people saw things happening outside of the perimeter of the Capitol in the White House, right away, there was movement for these like sacred
buildings.
I'm going
to stop you there because I disagree with you to a certain extent. This went on for hours.
I'm saying for the BLM movement, right away.
Oh, the BLM movement.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so sorry.
So if you're going to compare
the two. I was looking
at
my computer and my bad. I apologize. I don't say my bad. Unless it's really bad.
If you compare the two.
Yeah.
There is a protocol. I could just make that assumption that if there's a problem, like a lever gets pulled or something goes out and says secure the main, like what is it, the heart of our democracy.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's supposed to pull that lever?
Right.
Who?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you have examples of it when I remember saying on the show yesterday, Oscar, or maybe it was the day before, that I was so happy that Muriel Bowser, the mayor of the city of Washington, had called in the National Guard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good move just to do it. And then what the F? Were people on standby. What the F happened?
The thing that troubles me the most, I'm sorry, Oscar, just I will say real quick, is that they had people there, but we also, as you said at the front of the show, there was a 30-day run-up of vague sort of gaseous threats in the air of something that could go wrong. We didn't have anything firm, but with that in mind, they weren't in the gear they needed to be to quell the situation. Even if they were there, they were just in standard uniform. And it seems to me they just sort of soft-pedaled the whole thing. And you got to be thinking, especially in these days where social media for 30 days leading up, the whole attitude, as you said, was, wait do you see? You know, be ready to see. Be ready for it.
That's what I don't get.
Yeah, me
too.
That's
what I don't get. And of course, this, you're right, does come from the top.
Yeah.
On an individual basis. In all the years we've been around DC in the nation's capital, don't you believe that that there are certain things you don't go there, you don't go near there, you got to be real careful. There's a threat. A feeling of you'll take your life in your hands.
You walk by. There's an ATF building, an FBI building within I would say less than a block of our building.
Uh-huh.
And I walk by that garage every day or that entrance. You don't think I'm on high alert, making sure that I don't look suspicious walking by there? Because I respect that level of law and order.
Because you think you might have a gun trained on you.
Who knows?
I mean, it's just a weird situation. When we think of that tight as Tupperware environment
down
there.
They follow orders, though.
Right.
That's how it's set up. They follow orders. Who didn't give the order? And by the way, watching that video, that if you haven't seen, of the lone black Capitol Police officer running upstairs, trying
with
to
the
fend
baton in his
with
hand.
A baton.
Mm-hmm.
He had a firearm on him.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a level of when you use deadly force and when you don't, the level of restraint that it took for that man, I imagine, who just watching, you think you fear for your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to shoot is mind-blowing.
It's stunning. It really is. The mob, by the way, if you want to know what happened, the timeline here, began toppling barricades in front of the Capitol and pushed past Capitol police officers. You've seen the video, but they start knocking them down. They're throwing punches. They're swinging. Once they got past the barricades, police, the rioters ran up the Capitol steps, banged on doors, and attempted to break in through windows to enter the building. It went on and on and on, and I'm watching video of it right now. Then they finally broke through. They broke through. They got into the Capitol. They stormed, much less of a police presence at that particular time inside the Capitol than outside. But outside, I think what I heard on the news was 500 Capitol police officers deployed. There are 2,200 Capitol police officers.
Well,
they had 500 for this particular day. By the way, more often than not, for the big events, they're all came. I remember our buddy, some D.C. police officers that would talk about, oh, I get a lot of overtime this week because they're all, it's all hands on deck.
Right.
That's why they have the thousands of officers for these type of events. Nowhere to be found. Where the hell did that come from? That's what I can't wrap my head around. And really, not only people at the top, but you look at this situation, you say to yourself, okay, why so chill? Because it seemed to be chill. You looked at a lot of the throwing the hands up, you know, a couple of shoves here and then go ahead, come right in. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Also, the legally, at least from yesterday, I didn't realize that, you know, the legal ramifications, it's not this mandate of 10 years for anybody to desecrate anything, any federal building or monument that we had during the BLM movement.
Right.
If you get, if the, the charge is trespassing.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Which it's, I would it's think I don't go out on White House grounds or the Capitol without, you know, being allowed. And you can say it's the people's house, but in, you're in the middle of a security event. It's not trespassing. It should be something greater.
Well, it is the
Van
people's
Jones,
house. You have
Van
to
Jones
go through.
Was,
you have
go
to
ahead,
go through
Rob.
Proper channels to do it. I mean, no one is ever prevented from visiting the Capitol. But you go through the visitor's center, or you get a pass through your senator or your representative. There are protocols in place. So what they did is absolutely legal, illegal, and to cite it as, well, it's the people's capital. No, that's BS. You can't pull that. It is trespassing.
Let me read a little article here that I have. Last Saturday, Richard Barnett of Gravette, I guess it's G-R-A-V-E-T-T-E, Gravette, Arkansas. Criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Facebook for using the description white nationalist as a derogatory term. There you go. I am white. There's no denying it. I'm a nationalist. I put my nation first, so that makes me a white nationalist, blah, blah, blah. Just 4 days later, he was photographed sitting with his feet up on a desk in Pelosi's office at Capitol Hill with an image that quickly became emblematic of the chaos. Barnett, who is 60, there you go, children of the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
Check him out. He goes by the nickname Bigo. Identified himself as the intruder. That's good. He saves the police some time with that. He also confirmed his involvement to an Arkansas television station. And he said he feared for his life when he was there. He thought this is going to be it.
Mike, I feel very bad that they called him a white nationalist. And if his feelings are hurt, we are sorry. Mm-hmm. But would you like to hear the interview he did on TV?
Yeah, let's listen to the guy that was one of the insurgents.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Bigo.
They're facing me and I couldn't see. I'm in their office. I got blood in their office. I put a quarter on her desk, even though she ain't worth it. And I left her a note on her desk that says, Nancy Bigo is here, you
And there you have it.
There you go. There it is.
Classy,
we'll take
sir.
A break. We'll come back. And Rob's got some more tape from yesterday.
I do.
Of some of the speeches, some of the speakers that maybe poured a little gasoline on that. And then we'll ask Oscar about his pal, his friend.
He's like Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Your friend.
Then we'll ask you about your friend. Well, first of all, we'll tease. Was there any contact at all? Any phone calls?
Oh, there was contact. There was a text. There was a litany of texts.
And great, they got through on the fiber?
That's good enough for me.
That's good.
Very good. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do you listen to podcasts? Do you like to hear virtual voices through the magic of electronic reproduction? How would you like to hear your voice on a podcast? Now you can. Just submit a promo to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you cut the mustard, you can rub audio shoulders with all the promo greats. James Amato, Paul Christine, even that guy. It's as easy as falling off a log. Just follow this simple procedure. One, select a TMOS topic that you want to promote and then record yourself promoting it. Two, send your promo as an MP3 to rob@mikeomerishow.com. And if it airs, you can be a star. Can fabulous wealth be far behind? You better hurry. We look forward to hearing from you. Here's to showbiz.
There's Welcome that diction the you were talking show. About, Mike.
There it is. Yes, just three. That's a good announcer right there. Hey, welcome to this the show. I want to just take 1 second here. We have a free spot that I want to take a moment and talk about my wife's company.
Good.
Family spot, Dermglow, Mike. A family spot.
A family spot. Dermglowskin.com. Carla, many of you may not know that she is a facialist, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
If you have an online presence, you probably know that because she's all over the social media promoting her business at DermglowSkin.com. My bride is somebody who can make your skin shine.
Beautiful.
I am talking about spectacular, spectacular, spectacular. She is great at it. Not only can she give you a facial if you're in the the area, but she can also spend a good chunk of time with you, giving you the products and making you not giving them. That's not the. I don't want to misspeak.
Well, Mike, there's an exchange of goods and services.
Thank you very much. She can give you a consult though on your skin. She does it for me. I have a routine now.
Look at
when
you.
When I go out on the golf course.
Remember when you used to look old?
I remember I had age spots covering my hideous body.
Yeah.
I look like a leopard. Is what I did. No offense to leopards.
We love you. You're special.
This is what happens when you write a commercial on the fly.
I'm taking notes when I put the copy together, Mike. This is perfect.
DermglowSkin.com. You can give her a call, and she will give you a consult at 239-247-4036. Or go to DermglowSkin.com and check out all these magnificent products she has for you. It's DermglowSkin.com. The owner is my bride, Carla. Making her way.
The owner is my bride.
That's right. Making her way. Products and facials by Carla O'Mara. DermglowSkin.com or 239-247-4036. Find out how you can have a beautiful, beautiful skin routine yourself from Carla O'Mara. And tomorrow, when we get back to normal,
yes,
I have to share a message sent to my wife by a listener.
Oh.
It was real special.
I bet.
Complimentary. In a very special way.
A little too complimentary?
Yeah. It was.
Well, I love the fact that Carla has proven the fact that a leper really can change its spots.
Really, really special. All right. So we're winding down our little post-mortem on what happened yesterday. And in the case of that unfortunate four people, truly a poor post-mortem. Yeah. We don't know. I don't know yet. Have you guys seen anything about what the other causes of death were? They said they were medical emergencies.
Medical emergencies.
That's all we have so far. Mike, I just looked at the latest.
All right. You're texting back and forth with your friend who was in the middle of this, Todd Moore, yesterday. In the middle of it because he wanted to be. We should be very clear.
He went
on
to, you heard it on the show. He went to the rally. He was on the mall. I texted him as soon as I got off my call, and I said, I hope you're at home safe.
Right.
And he texted right back. He said, I'm back at the Airbnb. So, and I believe him.
Would you have been surprised if he had said, you wouldn't believe how big the Senate chamber is?
Rob.
I'd be lying if I was not. Like, if you didn't take a beat to say, I hope what I hope is right, right? Because if you sent me a picture of someone's desk, there'd be a problem.
Lincoln sat here.
Said, hey, well,
you had to be relieved. You had
this
to
is
be
real
relieved.
Wood. It's not IKEA.
Yeah.
No, I was relieved.
Good.
I was relieved.
Jesus, man.
And then I got another text. I said, good, man. Stay safe. Stay in. And then I said, then I got another text. He goes, seems to me that a lot of your listeners, TMOS, think that I was in the Capitol building. So he writes that like around, like, let's say 5:36 o'clock.
You do a good Todd impression. You know that?
Well, I've known him for years.
He spends more time with him.
Goes,
I can get that. I can get that he took a little blowback on
that. He goes, they're blaming me on social media.
They're blaming him for everything.
So that is just so, you just gave us that little blurb that is so pure Todd.
Yes.
With that.
Seems that they're blaming me. Well, Todd, you're not blameless. Sorry. Hate to tell you that, you know. I mean, you certainly share a lot of this stuff.
You certainly were in the pipeline in the network about this wild day that we all had.
I replayed his call several times in my head, and it has a sort of surreal quality looking back. Yeah. And
Patriots.
Someone sent me an email. They said, that's kind of like talking to Kennedy the morning of November 22nd. And I just said, yeah, it has that sort of surreal quality because we, in context now, we realize he was there before it all went down. And we have to remember the lighthearted nature. Again, we thought of it as like a sporting event.
We were making fun of him.
Yeah.
And
the situation. He knew he was in on the joke. He knew what was going on.
Yeah. But at the same time, I would love to, when more time passes.
Yes. Yeah.
To say, I would love to know if he is certainly privy to more chatter about an event yesterday than we are. I'd like to know what his impression was. I really would. Even though Todd and I disagree completely on these allegations of voter fraud and everything that he's been doing. We disagree on, you can't even quantify
like
how much
we disagree
with. But I'd like to get the insight on what really went down. And I'm sure you were relieved.
I was relieved that he wasn't
when there. He was back at his B&B
in Georgetown, the luxury at its best. So
Patriot B&B.
I said,
make breakfast great again.
I said, hey man, I was like, I know you weren't there. I was like, just be safe. That's all. Because I'm in the middle of running a business and living everybody else's lives as well. Right.
Right.
And trying to get home at that point. And then the wildest follow-up of follow-ups to all of that, I get home, we start like really seeing every ounce of tape that's coming out, and he, this is Todd, like at 10:30 p.m. He's like, man, like, I'm leaving town soon. Do you mind putting my mittens out in your mailbox so I can pick them up?
There you go. There you go.
No,
okay. Always about his mittens. There you go. Glad they got taken care of. Oh, my God.
Well, know this, Mike. Even when you wear mittens, you can still give the president a thumbs up.
Yeah. Todd, you misguided dullard. Anyway, we'll take a break. Rob gathered a lot of the audio.
Some tape,
I'll let you kind of take a point on how we lay it out there.
You got it.
For the events of yesterday, and then we'll come back after that, and we'll wrap up this little thing a little bit later. That's the layout of this very unusual show. This is Thursday, December 7th, the day, January 7th, the day after the day off. We'll take a break, come back with Rob's audio right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You all, I swear to God.
Fucking menus.
I am freaking out.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I want somebody who uses fucking brain to not come out of a damn record. And I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the title?
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself, honey. I don't even know why you're tripping with so many ways to chill and enjoy your favorite podcast. The Mike O'Mara Show is available on demand in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and even on Stitcher and Spotify. Subscribe on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode and you can relax.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Thompson Cigar. The best way to relax is with a premium cigar, and I get mine from Thompson Cigar Company. Bless you.
Excuse
me. Sorry about that. Hi.
God bless.
How's that? It's a part of the golfing ritual. With over a century in the business, these guys really know their stuff. With the best prices on everything from Macanudo to Monte Cristo, looking to try a new rare top-rated blend? Check out Thompson Cigar Tour and sample 5 different blends each month. Thompson Cigar Company continues to be the number one choice for the premium cigars in the USA because they deliver the very best customer experience. It's so great to shop for something I love with online convenience. Great company, really cool, and I know I'm dealing with the best in the biz. Plus, all the accessories, lighters, tobacconalia you'll ever need. Sit back, take a break, from all the craziness with the cigar from Thompson Cigar Company.
Good day.
These
for
guys
it.
Rarely do offers, but right now Thompson is offering our listeners 15% off orders over $75 or 20% off orders over $99. Just go to thompsoncigar.com and use promo code TMOS when you are ready to check out. That website is Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, cigar.com, and use promo code TMOS. So, we're weaving together all the sound bites. I don't know how you're going to do it, Rob, but I guess you start at the beginning, and we figure what happened yesterday.
Let's start at some of the speakers at the rally. I think that, I mean, if we want to focus on the good, and I'm sort of a glass half full kind of guy, at least Rudy Giuliani didn't sweat any hair dye yesterday, which was nice.
That's a good thing. That's a positive.
But he did invite everyone to get involved in a trial by combat. Here's Rudy Giuliani. And remember, when you look at Rudy Giuliani, you got to think, what happened to him?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
True.
Here he is.
Now, if they ran such a clean election, why wouldn't they make all the machines available immediately? If they ran such a clean election, they'd have you come in and look at the paper ballots. Who hides evidence? Criminals hide evidence. Not honest people. So, over the next 10 days, we get to see the machines that are crooked, the ballots that are fraudulent, and if we're wrong, we will be made fools of. But if we're right, a lot of them will go to jail. So, let's have trial by combat. I'm willing to stake my reputation. The president is willing to stake his reputation on the fact that we're going to find criminality there.
To be fair, his reputation was worth a lot more 20 years ago, so staking it today is not a big deal.
Well, you hear the tone, and you hear that is the definition of ramping up the crowd.
Of course.
That is going down. You know, it's all tone. And by the way, tone matters in a an
Hell
environment
yeah,
like
does.
That. When you're out there in the massive crowd, you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Combat. What stands out? What stands out in that speech?
Combat.
Combat.
Exactly.
That's what people hear. You can hear all the other stuff, and it's like, combat. So anyway.
Well, he might even come into second place as far as ramping up the crowd next to a handsome young man named Donald Trump Jr.
Stand up and fight. Stand up and hold your representatives accountable. And when you do, we can keep America great. Thank you, Patriots. Thank you, America. Keep fighting.
Keep fighting.
Didn't
combat.
He also say we're coming for you? We're coming for you.
Yeah,
I think he said that in his speech well. Once again, the tone. You hear the tone of the rally.
And the last piece of tape I think that we need to hear from the rally, it comes from the president himself. And again, to me, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I don't understand the way things work. It blows my mind that the president of the United States actually appeared at this rally. I know that like a week ago they were floating, he might do like a drive through and a wave and everything. But the fact that he was on stage speaking, it's mind blowing to me. But anyway, here he is sounding especially Trumpy.
We're going to walk down.
Like very breathy, by the way. Very breathy on this. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help, the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much.
His tone to me is almost more despicable than Giuliani and Jr.'s, because it's, we're going to walk down, I love Pennsylvania Avenue, and I love you.
And he like, said strength and weakness. There was another clip from Trump where he was more ramping them up. What else do you have from yesterday?
I like this because, again, this is one of the tweets that got deleted from Trump. This is when he addressed the country at 4:17. So all of this had been going down for 2 hours at this point.
Yeah, they had already broken windows. People had already been shot. This was people were already sitting in Pence's seat in the Capitol. The Capitol had been breached. The way I hear it, everything I've read and heard regarding this story was that there was pressure put on him to put out this tweet. because you need to douse the flames, Mr. President, because people have put legislators in peril by letting them by them breaking into the Capitol. This was an emergency situation, and this is what you got. This is all you got from the press.
I know you're pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. Yep. It was a landslide election.
Not a landslide.
And everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time.
Too late.
There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. Well, we love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
Of all the things I have heard.
Yes.
Of all the things I have heard for 4 years. I have never heard a more unhinged response from the sitting president of the United States.
He was spinning.
Absolutely unhinged. He is incapable of doing the right thing. Absolutely stunning. I didn't hear that until this moment, Rob.
Oh, really?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, because it got pulled down.
Yeah, it was deleted.
I cannot believe. So they say, Mr. President, you have to defuse this. You have to address these people. And he doesn't.
No.
God, once again, you got to see it all.
That's
yourself.
Why people
you
got to
hear it all.
This 25th Amendment situation, some are saying it's only 13 days now.
Look at what happened in 2 hours.
What's next?
Look at what happened in 2 hours. Anyway, Mike, that's the key audio from yesterday, as far as I'm concerned.
That is just that is stunning to me. It really, really is. We will take one more break. When we come back, we will we'll wrap this up. Everybody's thoughts, and everybody will get a chance to say their piece. And that's a jaw dropper. I really heard it for the first time.
Wow.
I heard blips of it, but I didn't hear blips. I sound like Larry King. I had a blip of it. But we'll come back and wrap this whole thing up on the Mike O'Meara Show. And thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Hey there, in case you haven't heard, it's a brand new year. But before we slam the door on this show that was 2020, some P1s and TMOS Nation want to show their appreciation.
This is Joyce Woodard from Colbert, Washington. Thank you for the cocktail hours. That was a good excuse. Thank you for making a tough year a whole heck of a lot better.
Hi, guys. It's Mama O'Brien from West Milford, New Jersey. Thank you so much for sharing your lives, parting with your wives, and for all the laughter which we truly needed.
Thank you, Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and Maddie, for keeping us laughing when we needed it the most. Here's to more fun and some great memories to come in 2021.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Happy New Year, folks. It is happy, isn't it?
Maybe. Huh? What?
No, I don't know. Are you ready for 2021? Anyone? Anyone, Ferris?
Bueller.
Did you make your New Year's resolution? Some people want to lose weight. I say eliminate the weight and order your TMOS bonus package right now. No waiting, just instant gratification at full stop, Mike Gomera Show, stopfull.com.
Yeah, it's at the website.
Whatever. Yes, resolve to enjoy more jocularity in the form of the TMOS bonus show. Your passport to the Asport, new one drops this Friday. Buy it now. We really, really need you to. Please, it will make 2021 a lot better, and we thank you. Extra good, extra content. It's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. How about some custard? Both warm and frozen. Yum. Mm. Bonus package. Buy it, Karen, you fox. Well, I think we covered it. I think we've covered it now.
It was a day.
By the way, one thing we didn't mention, at the wee hours of the morning, the election was certified. I'll be spending the day driving around Cocoonville, knocking on doors and collecting my bets. They're two holdouts.
You only need one. Two's enough. I talked to you and you.
Yeah.
I'll take Bitcoin.
By the way, my whole MO, I said this after the election, be gracious.
Yes.
I'm not going to be gracious asking for these guys that hold out the bets.
No.
I'm going to say, pay up, douche.
Pay up. I owe Maddie and Pony $10 a piece. I know that's on my
Trump
radar.
Trump was going to win?
No, about being late yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to them. That's fantastic.
Yes. This will get paid.
Rob Spiewak, your final thoughts on what we dealt with.
My final thoughts is... Or my final thought is, and I said this some time ago, I don't like going to bed sad. And yesterday was one of those days again. And it's a disappointment at a lot of levels. And there's no closure because we wake up and... We really don't know who's to blame or what happened. He's still president for however longer he is president. Congress was looked foolish well into the night, and they're taking credit for the fact they did what they're supposed to do when, in fact, they looked foolish. It's a sad day for the country, and I hate that we are still so evenly split and that a portion of a side that is not my side can take a sacred piece of ground and treat it the way they did. I think it was horrifying.
What about you, Oscar?
Oh, Jesus. This is the reality. For the people that still believe in Trumpism and the president, think about where we are now as a country. We're almost at three. We're literally losing hundreds of thousands of people. And not another 100,000 after the president came out months ago and said, don't be scared of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And another 100,000 people are dead. And now, to add insult to injury, in the middle of a pandemic, he somehow found a way to make it about him again by desecrating the people's house. This is who you're rooting for. This is Trumpism. It needs to stop.
I'm going to surprise you guys by probably striking the most optimistic tone of anybody on the show today, because you know how much of a political junkie I am and that I watch this stuff. I watched a significant amount of the session last night that began at 8 o'clock, reconvening to certify the election. I watched it because they, first of all, the major networks did live coverage of it. I didn't have to go to C-SPAN to see it. And I think every American ought to see the way it works. There was a lot of passion on the part of the senators that I heard speak, primarily senators that I heard speak last night. And at the end of all of this, the Capitol had been secured. The legislators had come from their different locations to reconvene and then in the wee hours of the morning certified the election. What that tells me is that with all of this, even with the unhinged president that we have at the top, we were able to get the people's business done. We were able to certify this election. Could it have been a greater moment? Yeah, I think, but for those six senators, it could have been a great moment. It wasn't, because we are still divided, and that's just the way it goes. I also believe, and hopefully believe, that even the people that voted for Donald Trump, and I'm not including the cowards that are resigning now. Okay. You don't. That doesn't mean anything. You're not saving your reputation. You're not Mick Mulvaney. You're not saving your reputation by jumping the ship with 13 days to go. What you have now is, I think there are plenty of people that voted for Donald Trump that have peeled off from this moment. I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart. There are also people that will say, you'll hear this if you deal with them. By the way, I deal with more Trumpers than anybody on this program, certainly. And you hear Antifa, Antifa, Antifa. They desperately want to make it about the black man. They desperately want to make it about Black Lives Matter. The most hated group in this country with most of these supporters of Donald Trump is Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Why? Well, that's the whole thing, folks. That's where it all springs from. Don't make any mistakes about that. This stems from race. It's always been about race. It has always been about race. It's been building for years, and it's been around for decades, for centuries. This is the way it's always been. And I think that we are making slow, steady progress to open Americans' eyes simply on demographics with population. It's going to get better. It is. Look at Georgia. It's going to get better, folks. Mm-hmm. It is. And are you saying, oh, it's going to get better because you're Democrats? Nope. Going to get better because we are going to have a reckoning on race in this country.
It's going to happen. There's nothing they can do to stop it. There's nothing all those protesters can do to stop it. There's nothing Donald Trump can do to stop it. And at the end of the day, there were our institutions prevailing, doing the right thing, getting it done. Take away the grandstanders in the United States Senate and the U.S. Congress. They were smaller in number, and it didn't work. But really, we still, the one thing I said through all the crap, as I was watching the certification and the speeches on the floor, I said, you know what, with all of it, with all the criticism that we give the United States government, it's still the greatest system in the greatest country in the free world. We're still there. And I really, really do believe we're going to get back there. We have survived it. Now, they're talking about the next 13 days. Is there the potential something could be done by this president again? Yeah, I suppose. But you know what? I think at the heart of that very narcissistic man is a reality chip, a self-preservation chip. I think that's what I hold out hope for right now. But keep an eye on him. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, we got through it. We got through it and we survived this. And I have hope for the Republic. I do. There's nothing better out there. We've had our banana Republic
moment.
It's still
the greatest country in the world.
I believe that. I believe that. And I believe that also the people that have that reality chip deep within them, even if they voted for Donald Trump, look at this and say, this is not right. I think there are more people in the Republican Party that are going to do that than people that say, man, I'm proud of those people. They're going to be those people
of
that
course.
Were proud of what they did. Well, they're f***ing idiots. There's nothing to be proud of by desecrating the chapel of democracy. You don't do that. But I'm optimistic. I am optimistic. I do believe that things are going to get better. I can only think that we are ready for a nice break from all of this insanity. And could I be wrong? Absolutely, I could be wrong. Could this rear its ugly head? Hey, there's six United States senators in the Republican Party that are counting on it. They're counting on it. They're counting on stoking those flames. They are counting on tapping into that racism. They are counting on that. We'll see what happens. But as far as where we are right now, I have to be optimistic. I'm optimistic for this country. And I want to see us get back together. I want to see if we can do that and see where we are. After we have a break from all this and they start ramping up, it'll only be about 2.5 years. By the way, it'll be about 2.5 years before it all starts over again. Not 4, 2.5. That's
actually
when they start talking about it.
It'll be less if when they do the local elections. When they
the local elections.
So look, about 18 months, and you know we can start talking at the House of Representatives.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Forget about it. I'm not optimistic at all. I'm totally optimistic. Everything's going to be a big bag of okay. Don't get happy. That's the way I look at that. You know. Hold on. Let me turn up my thing. Sorry about that. I even had my wrong button. I was going to say, don't get happy, my little signature line.
I think
line.
It still
but
works
that's
that
it.
Way.
And one last thing, okay? These two guys, Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, they don't know what I'm going to do until I come in here. Literally with a minute before the show. And once again, you boys did it again. You helped me out. You did a great job. It was a good show.
Hey,
it really was. And
you gotta,
thank you for that.
You opened the vault.
Oh, I closed the vault. No, I
you got to open
right.
You gotta
don't
close
get
it.
Happy, Mike.
Yep, that's right. I got
thank God I didn't want all the audio to get out tonight. Run around the
tomorrow,
studio.
We come back in here. Might have a little of this, but we're not going to do a lot of this.
No,
we're going to come back and be silly asses like we are all the time, okay? Oscar, we haven't even talked about Oscar getting scammed.
Oh,
and,
eBay.
And I haven't even talked about Carla's email from that guy talking about her breasts. There's your tease. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Pandemic.